712.
Never age or wait.
Amen. Ooh. Ruth, chapter 1. Ruth, chapter 4. Ruth, chapter 4. Some of you thought I was going to start all over, huh? Ruth, chapter 4. The last time I preached was, I don't even know when that was. It was a long time ago. But we were in chapter 4, all right? Verse 1 through 8. And what I'm going to call this, the ending of this book here, New Life for Naomi. New Life for Naomi. And we want to look at the setup for redemption here going on in verses 1 through 8. And we did this already, so just let me read it through and get right up to verse 9 and continue on. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by. Remember the last time we preached, we talked about a nearer kinsman. Somebody who's nearer to you. And of course, it has a reference to the old flesh that you have. And I'm so glad that there is a better kinsman than my own flesh, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But you know, the first one has to get out of the way first. And that would be me, my kinsman redeemer, or not my real kinsman redeemer, my kinsman of going right back to Adam. I got to get him out of the way and put someone else in his position, that be the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so Boaz has to kind of give this other kinsman redeemer opportunity to redeem Naomi and Ruth if he wants to do so. But you're going to find that he doesn't want to do it. But Boaz does. And Boaz is a beautiful picture of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who will step in and will pay the price for my redemption. All right, verse 1. Then went Boaz up to the gate, sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such an one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman Naomi, That is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, and that means to speak in the ear of, okay, I wanted to get your attention concerning this situation here, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Wow. Once again, I wonder if Ruth's heart just fell down to the bottom of the ground there when she heard him say, I'll redeem it. Because I think she had her heart set on Boaz, and I believe Boaz had his heart set on Ruth. Okay, so he says that. And verse 5, Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And that was the way things, the custom of the land would go. You would, and in fact, it's in the law to do this. And so this man would have to raise up seed unto his unto the dead brother who died. And that's going to be a problem for him here. And so verse 6, And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. You know, I cannot redeem it. Those words are just what the words that the devil and Adam can say. They cannot redeem you and me from our sin. There's no way a man can redeem himself. He needs someone else to step in there. And that someone else in this story is Boaz. In our story, it's Jesus Christ. Verse 7. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. So there's the setup. Boaz is the desiring redeemer. Elimelech is a representative of the needy sinner here, even though he's passed on and gone away. Elimelech sold his property and gave up his inheritance, left Naomi behind as a widow. And then Ruth, of course, married one of the sons, and now the son died, and so she's left without anything. And what we have here is two needy sinners, okay, that need help. And someone is going to come in there and help them out. I don't know about you, but one day I saw myself as a needy sinner. And I needed someone to step in and take my punishment for my sin, pay the price, and allow me to be a child of God. The nearer kinsman would represent man's sinful nature from Adam. The nearer kinsman failure represents the failure of salvation by works. You can't save yourself. And so salvation by works doesn't work. So Boaz steps in and makes the redemption. All right, now let's take a look at verses 9 and 10. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, boy, that's a good word too. Moreover, you know, where grace abounded, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The Lord's going to take care of this thing even more than what's necessary. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. So in verse 9, we see Boaz makes the proposal to redeem Naomi. And Israel, in a way here, is redeemed as promise. But here's one more thing. Not only is Israel redeemed here, represented in Naomi, but so are the Gentiles, represented in Ruth the Moabitess, a Gentile woman. The church is purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts 20 and verse 28. I think it's interesting, isn't it, how the Old Testament and New Testament kind of just comes together and beautiful pictures of what God is doing. In Acts 20, verse 28, Paul says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Folks, not only did Israel get taken care of in the book of Ruth under the type of Naomi, but we Gentiles who are part of the church, we're getting taken care of as well. And it says there that which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and starting at verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. You could put Boaz in there, and the church is Ruth. Even as Boaz loved Ruth, well, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So Boaz makes the redemption, takes care of Naomi. He takes care of Ruth. And also, there's something else that you need to see here too. Back in Ruth, what he is saying there in verse 10 has reference to the resurrection. Look at this in verse 10. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren. I see the importance of the resurrection here in order for the redemption to be complete as well. Boaz is saying, I'm going to take care of raising up seed to the one who passed away, who died. We're going to raise him back from the dead in a sense. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, does when he redeems you and me. He redeems us from the dead. We were dead in trespasses and sins. And through his redemption on the cross, he brings us to new life in Christ. So here is new life for Naomi. Brand new life. Up until this point, everything seemed to be going the wrong way. Now everything was going in the right direction. And he would actually be bringing Naomi back from the dead, we could say, as he preserves seed for the son that passed away. So the resurrection gives power to this whole matter of redemption. You can't get away from the truth that the doctrine of the resurrection is very important to the whole matter of salvation. If Jesus doesn't rise up from the grave and conquer death, then how can he give Naomi new life? How can he give the Gentile church new life? It's all through the resurrection. Well, back here in Ruth chapter 4, verse 11, we're going to go down through verse 17 here. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah. Of course, they gave birth to the 12 tribes of Israel, all right? And it says, which two did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, referring to Ruth, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. So, restorer of life for Naomi. Brought back from the dead, you could say. The resurrection life, new life in Christ, Naomi is going to enjoy this with the birth of a son through Ruth, the Gentile. And remember a few weeks ago, I was telling you how I believe God uses the church to bring Israel to jealousy. And that God is winning people to himself, the Gentile church. And one of the reasons why he's doing this is to get Israel to become jealous over the blessings that God is giving to the Gentiles so that they too will want to come back to their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and trust in him and follow him. And he will give them new life. And so it's kind of a wonderful thing to see this working going on here. Ruth is just the thing that Naomi needed here for her to be blessed and have a great a future in store for herself here. This is new life for Naomi. All right. Now, the genealogy you see here in verses 18 through 22. Now, these are the generations of Phares. Phares begat Hezron. Hezron begat Ram. Ram begat Amminadab. And Amminadab begat Nashon. And Nashon begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz. And Boaz begat Obed. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David. And of course, we know through David came the Lord Jesus Christ. I just think it's a wonderful thing to watch how God behind the scenes brought all these things together here. If you ever start wondering if God knows what's going on, just go back to the book of Ruth, all right, and start reading and realize God is always there and he's watching over. And he wants to bring good things to pass here. Well, Obed is a restorer of life for Naomi. It is interesting to see some of the names here. Elimelech means my God is king, Israel. Naomi means pleasant. But remember she wanted to take another name, Mara, which is bitter. I think she'll take back her old name now, right? And take Naomi back and be pleasant once again. Mahlon means mild, and Chilion means pining away. And of course, they both did. Orpah, the other daughter-in-law, means youthful freshness. Referring to Gentile unbelievers, maybe to a certain extent. And then Ruth. Ruth means friendship. And, you know, Gentile believers, that's what we should be. Friends, one of another. And serving the Lord Jesus Christ together as friends in the church. Boaz means strength, a strong one. And so our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the strong one as well. And of course, you got the nearer kinsman. That would be the flesh and the devil, all right? But Boaz is our Redeemer and the Redeemer for Naomi. Brand new life for her. Go with me. We're going to close with looking at this. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And I would like you to think of any songs that might go along with what we're thinking about here tonight. Romans chapter 11. You know, songs that talk about the church, maybe the blessing that the church has, and things that Israel has as a result of the church. Romans chapter 11, verse 25 says this: "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel." And that happened to Naomi, okay? Naomi and Elimelech had a little blindness here. They couldn't see their way to stay in the land like they should have done, and God would take care of them in the land. No, they turned and went to the Gentile land of Moab. It says, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Or until Ruth is taken care of by Boaz in our book of Ruth here. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, that would be Israel's unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy, yeah, you Gentiles who have gotten saved, through your mercy, they also may obtain mercy. Naomi is getting in on the blessings because of her daughter-in-law, Ruth, being redeemed by Boaz. So she gets in on the blessing as well. So Israel is going to enjoy a wonderful future, new life for Israel, because of what God's doing among the Gentiles. So he's kind of bringing them to a position of jealousy. And you see this back in chapter 11, verse 13. "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation," and that would be jealousy, all right? I want to provoke Israel to jealousy, "them which are my flesh," the Israelites, "and might save some of them." So through God working on the Gentiles, Paul is saying, if I'm a part of that, as an apostle to the Gentiles, preaching to them, seeing many Gentiles come to know the Lord as their Savior, if that causes a lot of Israelites to get jealous over God's blessing these Gentiles, amen, that's good. He's happy with that. And he's looking forward to, as he then says down here, all Israel shall be saved one of these days. Folks, I believe we're entering on to that time. We're in the end times here, and I don't think it's going to be long before we see these things starting to take place here. And what do I mean by this? Well, I think that the rapture of the church is right around the corner. I just look at everything that's going on, and I just say, Lord, how much longer is it going to be before you take the church out of this world? And then start that process of the tribulation time to bring Israel unto yourself. It's going to happen. I see it taking place, and it's a wonderful thing to watch. I can remember as a child hearing preachers talk about this, and sometimes you just wonder, you know, as you would hear them talk. But as I kept growing and living, and here I am at this time in 2016, I'm saying, it's right around the corner. What's right around the corner? The rapture and the bringing back of Israel unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a day it's going to be. So there you go, folks. What a beautiful love story there, Boaz and Ruth. Beautiful picture of how God is going to restore Israel unto himself. Can you think of any songs or anything that kind of go along with that thought? Ralph, what do you got?
Number 22 in the hymn book, the church is one foundation.
Yeah. Read some of it. What part of it kind of stands out to you there?
A lot of it. All right. The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died.
Yeah. That's good. That is good. Mm-hmm.
That's just the first verse.
Yeah. Anybody else come up with anything? That might be a little hard. but, yep. Anything else? Wow. Let's go there. Number 22, right? Yep. We haven't sung that song for a little while. Come on up here, Ralph. You lead it for us, okay, if you would. Kid, get me a book. Get me a book.
Number 22, the church is one foundation. We definitely have to sing verse 2 because it talks about elect from every nation.
My one.
schisms rent asunder. Oh.
And by heresies distressed. Wow.
Yeah, it's gone through a lot, hasn't it? You know? And yet, saints, their watch are keeping, their cry goes up. How long? How long? Boy, you ever get up in the morning and say, Lord, is it going to be today? How about today? How long, O Lord? Well, one of these days, we're going up. We're going to go up. All right. Well, good to have you all here today. Pray for me. Go to the doctor tomorrow, okay? Just pray that God would help me get through this. I fell asleep this afternoon, and I woke up at 6:15. And I thought it was Monday morning. And my wife was out doing something. I thought, what's she doing up already? And there it is, only 6:15, and I have to go to church and preach. I was totally out of it. Man, that's the first time I've had a good sleep like that. So if any of you were praying for me to get a good nap, thank you very much. I was out, all right? And I'm kind of looking forward to going home tonight and go back to bed and finish what I started, all right? Yep, pray for your pastor that he can get through this in the next few weeks and get his strength back. It's just really been a difficult time. So, all right, think that's about it. Let's have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessed hope that we have. And we like that song there, the saints. So what do? We say, how long, O Lord? How long is it going to be? We long to be with you. We would hasten the day if we could, like Peter tells us to do. And even John writes, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. You hear our cry. You know what we're saying. And we're looking forward to that day when the Lord will come and take us home to be with him. Just like Boaz came and took care of Ruth. And then took care of Naomi, Israel. They're going to be taken care of too. What a day it's going to be when everything is right. When everything's put back the way it should be. Right now things are a mess. But one of these days the Lord's going to straighten it out. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? That'll all be done. And there'll be one Lord and one King over all the earth. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who paid the price for our sins. That we might be redeemed. We look forward to the future. May it be today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.